From struggle to jubilation, the Psalms reveal the human experience. The Psalms also serve as a wonderful tool for devotion and reflection. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer. Learn more about this new devotional resource at issuesetc.org or purchase Engaging the Psalms by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer. It is a story about a woman with two sons. They marry Gentiles. Then the woman's husband dies. The sons, they die. And now these three women are left widows. One returns to her home, but one, Ruth, refuses to leave her mother-in-law. And she stays with her in and among the Israelites. Now, how is she redeemed? Well, a kinsman. Boaz redeems Ruth and takes her to be his wife. She goes on to be the great-grandmother of King David and an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to remember Old Testament matriarch Ruth with Dr. Christopher Mitchell. He's editor of the Concordia Commentary series, author of the Concordia Commentary on the Song of Songs. He has a PhD in Hebrew and Semitic Studies from the University of Wisconsin. Dr. Mitchell, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
In light of John 5:39, where Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me," what does the Old Testament matriarch Ruth have to do with Jesus?
She has a lot to do with Jesus. And what Jesus is saying there is that the Old Testament scriptures testify to him and in an abundance of ways. The book of Hebrews starts out by noting how the Old Testament contains many different kinds of prophecies of Christ. So often we distinguish between verbal prophecies, which are verbal predictions using words of what Jesus Christ will come and do for our salvation, in typological prophecies, which are like action prophecies. They act out in a small way, in a preliminary way, and on a small scale, what Jesus Christ will then do on a grand scale. And Jesus will do completely and perfectly the actions that saints in the Old Testament have done, at least in a preliminary and small-scale way. So the book of Ruth includes both of those kinds of prophecies. It has verbal descriptions, which Jesus will then fulfill, and it also has a drama where the story of salvation is acted out by the participants. And again, that's in a preliminary way that points to Christ. It doesn't substitute for Christ, but it portrays what Jesus Christ will do in a much greater and perfect way for our salvation.
Is this just then an account of David's ancestry, or is there more theological import to the book of Ruth?
The book has a lot of theological import. It's quite a compelling drama. So basically, to recap, you have this lady, Ruth, who was a Moabitess, that is, she was a Gentile, not part of the people of Israel. And she originally was lost, separated from the people of God, without hope for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And by this rather tragic series of events, she is brought into the kingdom of God. So the book tells us about the theology of the cross, how God can use disasters. In the case of Ruth, there was a famine in Israel. So the Israelites went searching for more productive land that would have food, and they ended up in Moab. And then the two sons of Naomi married Moabitesses, Ruth being one of them. Then the husbands died. So it was really quite a tragedy, and only the three women were left. The other Moabitess chose to go back to her land and to her gods. So there's a connection in the Old Testament between land and God. And so the people in other lands would worship other gods that they thought took care of them. God established Israel as the place for his people. And in the land, you had first the tabernacle and then later the temple that Solomon built, Solomon being David's son. So at the time of Ruth, there was still the tabernacle in the land of Israel. The tabernacle was the place for the means of grace, the sacrifice, the priesthood. So we can think of that as like a church building where the word is proclaimed, the sacraments are administered. So if we want to find God, or rather if God wants to find us, he brings us to the place where he's giving the forgiveness of sins through his word and sacrament. So this is what happened in the book of Ruth through this rather dramatic story. And in the first chapter, there's this account of how Ruth was brought to faith. Apparently, Naomi had been a good witness to the grace of the God of Israel, and that's why Ruth wanted to cling to her. She makes this dramatic confession that she will stick with Naomi. She goes wherever Naomi goes, she'll go. And that also Naomi's God will be her God. So it's a dramatic story of conversion to the one true saving faith. And Ruth even goes so far as to say, in the form of an oath, that she is confident of the hope of everlasting life. It's not always translated that way. In verse 17 of the first chapter, a typical translation is, may the Lord do so and so to me and all the more, if anything but death parts me from you. But if you study the Hebrew, and we have a great commentary author who spent many years studying the Hebrew, and he explains that Ruth is really saying, in an affirmative sense, not even death is going to separate me from you. So apparently Ruth had been brought to faith in the God of Israel to the extent that she believed in the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life even after death. So she believed that she would join Naomi in eternal life through faith in the God of Israel.
We're talking with Dr. Christopher Mitchell, editor of the Concordia Commentary Series, about Old Testament matriarch Ruth. So it's more than just an account of David's ancestry. What's the theological import of this story? We'll answer that question next. From struggle to jubilation, the Psalms reveal the human experience. The Psalms also serve as a wonderful tool for devotion and reflection. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer. Learn more about this new devotional resource at issuesetc.org or purchase Engaging the Psalms by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Engaging the Psalms, a Guide for Reflection and Prayer.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, we keep the focus on Christ every Sunday with ancient liturgy, preaching from the lectionary, and celebration of the sacrament of the altar. Come be a part of the evangelical and Catholic faith as handed down to us in the Lutheran confessions. We celebrate the divine service every Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages at 9:15. To learn more, visit holycrossrockland.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with most to be pitied in Adam and in Christ. Say what? The resurrection of the body and the man from heaven. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Ascension Lutheran, Niles, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Marshall, Minnesota. Hope Lutheran, Spokane Valley, Washington. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. Our Savior Lutheran, Louisville, Kentucky. Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. St. John Lutheran, New Berlin, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. And Trinity Lutheran, Okmulgee, Oklahoma. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
If you don't have patriarchy, it doesn't mean that you escape the rule of men. You just have andrarchy. That is, you have men who don't care about you at all.
When Paul teaches justification by faith apart from works, he's intending to exclude the merit of works. When James talks about justification by works, he doesn't have in view the merit of works, but instead he has in view the presence of works.
It's a system of control. It's a system of ideology when you are afraid to state your own opinion, but you have to say things that are correct just because somebody expects you to say that.
And as I think I'm barely hanging on, or even as if Jesus is barely holding on to me, then comes this promise. Before you were even born, before you were even conceived, before the world even existed, the Lord knew you and the Lord chose you.
An hour from now, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got our four soundbites to play for you, and after we've played them, your vote decides which will be Soundbite of the Week. Listeners with the best votes win the LPR bundle package. That's an Ad Crucem Baptism keepsake, the I Have Issues t-shirt, and an Issues Etc. pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag. The soundbites are soundbite number one, Dr. Peter Scare, is patriarchy evil? Soundbite number two, Dr. Stephen Parks, do Paul and James disagree on justification? Dr. Alexei Streltsov, how America reminds him of the Soviet Union? And Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, how Paul teaches eternal election? You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, we're remembering Old Testament matriarch Ruth. The church is remembering her on the 16th of July. Dr. Christopher Mitchell is our guest. Dr. Mitchell, so this isn't just an account of David's ancestry. Is there theological import to the book of Ruth?
Yes, I think it's quite significant. And if I could just back up for a second, there are several other remarkable things about the book of Ruth that are unique in the history of salvation as revealed in the scriptures. So Ruth is the main character in this book. It's similar to the book of Esther in that that also has what we might call a strong female protagonist. And in both of these books, the kingdom of God is advanced through the actions of a woman. And I think if we step back and look at the bigger picture of scriptures, all of this relates to the theme of Jesus Christ as the bridegroom of the church and the church as his bride. So in a way, we can picture Ruth as a type of the church, the Christian church. The marriage theme that plays out in the book of Ruth involves a real actual marriage. So Boaz marries Ruth, and then there's the line of children that eventuates in King David, and then eventually in Jesus Christ. So it's not just a figurative marriage, but a real flesh and blood marriage. I'm reminded of Ephesians 5, where St. Paul starts talking about Christian husbands and wives, and he's talking about, you know, real flesh and blood husbands and wives. And then he starts talking about Christ and the church, and he says, this mystery is great, that within Christian marriage, there is this greater mystery of the union of Christ and his church. So I think that's part of the background of the book of Ruth, if you look in the broad scope of salvation history. And Scripture starts with a marriage in the Garden of Eden, where God creates Adam and Eve and brings them together. Scripture also concludes with a wedding, if you will, with the return of Jesus Christ and the New Jerusalem. And the church is there called the wife of the Lamb, not just the bride, but the wife. So within the grand scope of Scripture, including the beginning and end, you have this marriage theme that plays out. I think that helps us understand the book of Ruth in its larger context. And then getting back to the question of the genealogy, the book of Ruth ends with a genealogy that leads to David. The Gospel of Matthew also starts with a genealogy, namely the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it turned out in the history of this Concordia commentary series that I edit that we just so happened to publish the Ruth commentary right before the first volume of the Matthew commentary. So in my editorial work, I went straight from the end of Ruth to the beginning of Matthew. That was quite an experience because there are some details in each of those genealogies that are closely related. In Matthew's genealogy, quite surprisingly, there are five women in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. So the first thing that's surprising about that is that there are women. Normally, in a patriarchal society, you might only mention the men, you know, in the ancestry of an important man like Jesus Christ, I mean, the God-man. So the fact that women are mentioned at all is quite significant. And again, I would relate that to the theme of Christ and the church. And then Ruth is one of the five women who is mentioned. And moreover, at least two of these five women are Gentiles. So Rahab the Canaanite from the town of Jericho is the other one who clearly is a Gentile. So the significance of this, I would say, is that it supports the biblical theme of salvation for all in Jesus Christ. And this was God's intent from the beginning. The first gospel promise is Genesis 3:15, where God promises that the seed of Eve will crush the serpent's head. So the original promise is not specifically to Israel, but a seed of a woman who will crush the serpent's head to free all humanity from the reign of terror that the devil brought, sin and death, its consequence. So then, after the initial chapters of Genesis, God does narrow down the line, the people with whom he interacts for salvation to Abraham, starting in Genesis 12, and then Israel as a nation, and so on. But his intent from the very start was salvation for all people. That theme's reinforced in the patriarchal promises that through the seed of Abraham, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then with the example of Ruth, we see that also where a Gentile is incorporated into the physical line of Jesus Christ according to the flesh, and she's also incorporated into the people of faith. So she is a fellow heir of the salvation won for all people by Jesus Christ.
Talk about the idea of redemption in Ruth's story.
Yeah, so there are two aspects to redemption. The first could be described as redeem in the narrow technical sense. So a Hebrew verb is used there, ga'al. And there's a custom of redemption partly based on the Torah, where God's concern was that his gifts of grace and his gift of the land to be inherited by the tribes of Israel, God's concern was that not be lost or diluted by things such as intermarriage or death, especially if a family line should die out without sons being direct descendants and heirs. So God had this program of redemption whereby if a specific family line did die out, a relative, a near kinsman, could redeem the land and get it back into the tribe and the clan and the family so that the people of God would be able to continue to enjoy God's gifts and they wouldn't forfeit these gifts that God had given to them. So that's part of the backdrop. There's also a custom in the Torah called levirate marriage, which made provision if a man had died without sons for his family line to be continued by a brother who would marry his wife after he had died. And that is somewhat related to the narrative of Ruth, but it's not exactly what's going on. So the story in Ruth, whereby Boaz redeems Ruth, it's not exactly the same as a levirate marriage, but it's the concept is similar. So that is the sense of the Hebrew verb redeem in its narrow social sense. Boaz is claiming Ruth as his own, and then they have children, and that continues the family line that otherwise would have been lost. The verb there, redeem, though, is part of a larger biblical theme where God is the one who redeems Israel. And the idea of redemption can often involve a vicarious sacrifice. So this is not actually part of the book of Ruth, but when we read that verb, redeem, in the book of Ruth, it reminds us of the larger picture. And so in the Exodus, God redeemed his people Israel. There was a sacrifice in the sense that the firstborn of Egypt died. And then also in the sacrificial commands in the Torah, there were stipulations for substitutionary sacrifice. So that all is connected to the larger biblical theme of redemption. When we consider the New Testament, it is Jesus Christ who redeems us. And the way in which he redeems us is by giving himself as our substitute. So the idea of substitutionary sacrifice is exemplified in Jesus Christ, who offers himself. He's the perfect, unblemished lamb. He's the Son of God, or God the Son, who dies in our place. So the sinless one takes on himself all of our sins and dies the death we deserve. And he suffered the anguish of hell, being abandoned by his Father on the cross in our place. So that is the punishment we deserve for our sins. But Christ took that punishment on himself and suffered as our substitute, then rose from the grave, guaranteeing our own resurrection from the dead. So that larger picture of redemption should be in our minds as we read that verb, redeem, in the book of Ruth.
We're talking about the Old Testament matriarch Ruth, remembered by the church on the 16th of July. Dr. Christopher Mitchell is our guest, editor of the Concordia Commentary series, author of the Concordia Commentary on Song of Songs, and he has a PhD in Hebrew and Semitic Studies from the University of Wisconsin. He was also at one time the guest instructor in Hebrew to a very, very much younger Todd Wilkin, who is studying for the pastoral ministry. Our pastors need to know the original languages of the scriptures so that they can teach and preach them accurately. You can learn more about studying for the pastoral ministry at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. On the other side, we'll look at Boaz and answer the question, is this Redeemer in Ruth's life a type of Christ the Redeemer? You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Brian Wolfmiller, Jack Phillips, Larry Rast, and Will Wheaton at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Registration is $150. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
We confess that the Church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, and yet, as we look at the Church here in 2021, it hardly seems one holy, Catholic, apostolic Church. How do we come to grips with this reality? Is the Church one? How is she united? How do we look to her head, Jesus Christ? Well, this question and many others are discussed in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. It's all about the Church. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness and visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, remembering Old Testament matriarch Ruth with Dr. Christopher Mitchell, editor of the Concordia Commentary Series. Dr. Mitchell, is then Boaz, this kind of earthly redeemer of Ruth, is he a type of Christ?
Yes, I think he's definitely a type of Christ. And when we talk about typology in the Old Testament, we have to remember, as I mentioned before, that a type is an imperfect symbol or drama of what Christ does perfectly. So the Old Testament types have faults or imperfections, and there are certain ways in which they don't completely do what Christ does do fully. So on the example of Boaz, at first he kind of keeps his distance. There's a closer redeemer, and he gives this closer redeemer a chance to redeem Ruth first before he does. So I mean, that would not be something that would apply to Christ. It's also possible that Boaz might even have had another wife or other children, other sons, before marrying Ruth. Now, Ruth doesn't actually state whether or not he did, but in the larger context of Old Testament history, that may have been the case. That may have been one reason why Boaz was at first cautious about redeeming Ruth, because giving her sons could then perhaps compete with his sons that he previously had in terms of inheritance. So we don't want to say that Boaz was exactly like Christ in every respect, but what Boaz did do is he did claim this Gentile woman. Before he married her, he was extremely gracious to her. He let her collect food from his fields. He told his workers, leave extra grain lying around during the harvest, you know, deliberately leave food for her, even though she was a foreigner. So he showed his grace toward her in those ways, and then ended up marrying her, and she was incorporated into the people of God through that marriage, and then was privileged to have a son who then was an ancestor of King David, and then eventually through David, Jesus Christ, according to the flesh again.
So, Dr. Mitchell, is Ruth a model of faith?
I would say definitely she is a model of faith in many respects. So first, she is a converted Gentile. In a sense, we're all Gentile converts in that we are conceived and born in sin. We're not naturally children of God. We actually are considered enemies of God. Scripture says while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. But through grace and by faith, Ruth was joined to the people of God. So her story of conversion is really the story of each of us through baptism into Christ, through hearing the Word of God, and in communion with the fellowship of the church, we are brought to Christ our Savior. I think Ruth is also a model of faith in her patient willingness to be led. So this is also something we as Christians need to learn to do, to be patient, to let God lead us. She couldn't really take matters into her own hands. She had to wait for Boaz to be willing to redeem her. And this has to do with divine monergism, as it's technically called, that Christ does everything necessary for us, for our salvation. So we can't save ourselves. Our good works don't contribute to our salvation. We may think that we have made a decision to believe in Christ, but really it's Christ who has done all the work for us, and Christ suffered and died on the cross and rose again for our salvation, and Christ has sent the Holy Spirit, who brings us to faith. So even our faith itself is a gift of God, and our deciding, you know, from a human perspective, our deciding to follow Christ and to follow his will is actually a gift from God. So it's all done by God in Christ for our salvation.
How do Christians then best remember Ruth?
Well, we can remember her in several ways. First, reading the book of Ruth is a great way to remember her and be edified by God's word and her role in God's great plan for our salvation in Jesus Christ. We can imitate her faith by studying her example and seeing how she remained faithful and was an adherent to the one true saving God, the God of Israel, and her profession of faith that we mentioned earlier in chapter 1, that she was going to remain faithful to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and not even death would separate them. So hers was a faith in Christ that was not just for this world, not just for the things of this world, but a faith in the God of Israel who grants eternal life.
Before we let you go, what can you tell us about the Concordia commentary on the book of Ruth?
Oh, it's an excellent volume. I thoroughly enjoyed my role in editing it. I got to spend 6 months reading it. The author, Dr. John Wilch, was a professor at Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. He has a rich multicultural background, and I think that really came through in his attention to the theme of missions, how the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all peoples of all nations and all backgrounds.
You can purchase the Concordia Commentary on Ruth by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy on the Talk On Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Christopher Mistral is editor of the Concordia Commentary series. He's author of the Concordia Commentary on the Song of Songs. He has a PhD in Hebrew and Semitic Studies from the University of Wisconsin. Christopher, thanks.
Thank you.
When we come back on this Friday, July the 16th, we'll talk the past, present, and future of Ravi Zacharias International Ministries with Warren Cole Smith, president of Ministry Watch. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.